coming for to carry me home. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me. Coming forth to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, coming forth to carry me home. First verse again. Oh, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me. Oh, oh, band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me. Carry me home one more time now. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me home. That's such a beautiful song. If you've ever had the privilege to be next to a believer when they cross from this life to the next, I believe as they're laying there taking their final breath that they're singing that song. Because I believe without a doubt in me that my dad saw those angels coming down to take him home. And when I sing that song, I just imagine what a believer is seeing. That they're singing this song, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. I looked over Jordan. That's the only thing that the enemy has against us is death. And if that is death, then he has nothing. Amen. We've got so much to be thankful for. Aren't you glad to be in church this evening? Amen. I tell you, I'm just so excited to be here and so happy to see what the Lord's got in store for us. The last few services, the Lord has just really ministered to me. And I've just been feasting on that manna. And I just look forward to being here. It's so good to be here with all of y'all and just have the presence of the Lord among us. So I come to have church tonight. I know Brother Diggs is here. He's going to have church tonight, and I intend to have church with him. I've heard him say many times, I'm going to get mine whether you get yours or not. So I'm going to be with him, and I'm going to get mine with him. So I hope that you'll get yours too. Let's just loosen up. Let's sing that old song, There Is Power in the Blood, key of G. Do you believe there's still power in the blood? Amen.
Oh, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Blood, power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh, there's power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb.
Let's sing that song here. I'm just looking so forward to this. I just love this song. I had this on my heart today. What a day that will be. Yeah, I know this is an older song, but the words in this song is so powerful. You know, as bride, we got so much to be thankful for. But the number one thing that we can be thankful for is what He's done for us, Brother Mark. That we'll be able to experience that day. You know, there's many, many thousands of people gathered in a church building this evening that's there just so they can say they went to church on Sunday. But I'm so thankful to God that He put that desire in my heart to be here because I love Him, because I want to be here, because He called me out. What a day that's going to be when we get to that other side and we get to actually look on His face and tell Him face to face just how much we really love Him. Let's just sing this song. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh,
when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day. Think about this verse. I love this. There'll be no sorrows there. No more burdens to bear. Hallelujah. No more sickness. No pain. No more parting. Oh, but here's the good part.
Truly going to be a day, Brother Joe. What a wonderful day that's going to be. Amen. Sister Becky, if you'll just play that song, Only Believe, as I get ready to read these prayer requests. You know, we've entered into a season where Brother Barry mentioned it this morning, that it seems like there's not really a family that you know or that you talk to that's not experiencing some kind of difficulty, whether it be physically, health, or financially, or some type of burden that a family is having to deal with. But it can be a comfort to us knowing that. Just believe that He's got it all in control. You know, I just thank the Lord for what He done for my mother this past week, and nothing truly short of a miracle just showed me that He's still on the throne. I've seen it firsthand in my own life. And there's many of you here that has experienced those miracles. Well, let me tell you, saints, He can still work those same miracles. He's still got that power. He's still sitting on that throne. And He had an answer for you. Before you even had the problem, He already had an answer for you and had it worked out. So let's just remember that as we take these requests before the Lord. I want to ask you to continue to remember my mother. She's doing a whole lot better. She's She's 100% as far as the sickness goes. She's just really weak. She went about 6 days there without any kind of solid food. So her body's just still trying to recover. And she actually got up to come today and was just so weak. She couldn't make it. So just continue to remember in prayer that the Lord will give her strength. She certainly does want to be here. And she really appreciates all y'all's prayers very much. We want to remember Brother Rogers' granddaughter's got a kidney stone, so we want to remember that prayer request. We also want to remember Sister Kim. She's not feeling well, so let's remember her in prayer. We got a request here to remember. We want to continue to remember Brother Roger Griffin, that the Lord would just be with him and be with that family. Also, we want to ask the Lord just to be with the family of Brother Sammy McDonald over in Ireland. I can't imagine what they're having to go through with, and we just ask the Lord to have mercy on them and be with them. Also, we want to remember Sister Jackie Witt Locke is not doing well, is sick. Let's remember Brother Paul Ratcliffe with the pancreas. Also, we want to remember Brother Steve Coffey as he's away today. I know there's many, many requests among us, unspoken requests by the raising of your hands. Amen. I'd like to ask Brother Mark if he would come and take these requests before the Lord this evening. Let's just sing it as he comes.
Only be.
Forgot to mention, I just want to mention this to you. My other sister from lives down in Charleston, Charmaine, she called and she saw how the prayers of this church reached the master. And she wanted the church to pray for her for a very important unspoken request. She didn't list what the details was. I have no idea what it was. But she witnessed firsthand what the Lord had done. And we're praying for the Lord to deal with her heart as well. So I'd just like to ask you to remember her for her unspoken request, and also that the Lord would continue to work with her heart.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful once again, Father, to be in your house this evening, Lord. We pray that you'll bless everyone that made an effort to come, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege. Lord, your prophet tells us that one of these days we won't, Lord, and we'll miss these times together. And while we have a chance, Lord, help us to cherish every minute, Lord, of this, knowing, Lord, that one day it won't be so, Father. Lord, we come, Lord, many times there's many needs, Lord. There's always a need we have, Lord, whether it be physical or spiritual or financial or whatever it may be. We are a needy people, Lord, and you know all about it, Father, and you provided a way that our needs can be met. And Lord, we come, Father, asking that each one of these requests that was made known, that you will grant each, Lord, especially, Lord, those that are sick, Lord, and going through times where they need a touch from you, Lord. Especially those family, Lord, that's lost a loved one, Brother Stefanenko's family. We pray that you'll touch them, Lord, and comfort them at this time, Lord, the things they're going through. And Brother McDonald, Lord, and his sickness, Father, we pray that you will touch her, Brother, Lord. We commit it into your hands. Many times, Lord, we don't know, Lord, maybe what your will is, Lord, but we pray for your perfect will, Father. And Lord, we thank you for touching Sister Shirley, Lord, and for that miracle, Lord, that you've done to her body, Father. And we pray that you'll touch her and strengthen her, Father. Be with Sister Chanel, Lord, and her family, Lord, over the situation with our Father, Lord. Grant each request, every uplifted hand, Lord, that was made. Brother Keith's request for his sister Charmaine, Lord, we pray that you will grant that, Lord. She see, Lord, that There's a people, Lord, that when they pray and ask you, Lord, to intercede on their behalf, that you hear and answer, Lord. And she's asking, having confidence, Lord, in our prayers, that you would hear us, Father. And we pray that you'll help her. And most importantly, Lord, for the soul, that it would be saved, Lord, that hearts will be touched, that they'll come and see, Lord, that there's a need for you, Lord. Bless the minister as he comes tonight, Lord. Speak through him to us and bless us, Father. And may your spirit, Lord, be among us, Lord. Open our eyes and touch our hearts, that we may believe, Lord, and go out here better people than we came in, Father. Grant it. We commit this service to you. We give you glory and honor, Lord, for you're worthy, Father. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Brother Mitchell's got a song he's going to give us as he's getting ready to come. Just a quick announcement, reminder to the young people about our youth event, December 16th, 13 and up, at mine and Sister Sarah's house. I know you guys don't like to sign up, but this is real important that you sign up. You don't have to bring anything, but I would like for you to sign up so that I can have a accurate head count. It's very important that I have this head count. Also, you're encouraged to wear the ugliest sweater that you can find. Whoever wears the ugliest sweater will probably receive something very special, and it's got to be authentic, nothing taped to your shirt like we had the last time. We want to see some real, genuine, ugly sweaters. So dig in your closet, dig out them real ugly sweaters, and wear them. And December 16th, 5 o'clock at mine and Sister Sarah's house.
Difference in me. sitting over there just thinking about that song, and I realized, hey, I've got a job to do. Greet everybody in the name of the Lord Jesus tonight. It's good to be in God's house. Always good to be with God's people. And we appreciate you being here tonight with us. Brother Diggs is almost ready to go, and we're just looking forward to the Word tonight. I wanted to make mention, I didn't hear all the prayer requests in there, but I didn't know if we mentioned Sister Kim, and Brother Luther and Sister Marianne are not here tonight, and Sister Molly. And Sister Molly is still recuperating and in the home there, so we sure want to continue to remember them in prayer and hold them up before the Lord, because they're going through a difficult season. And when you go through times like that, it's just great to know that people are thinking about you, and people are praying for you, and people are communicating with you. That makes a real big difference. Let me encourage you this week, for those of you that are going to be at home in Thanksgiving. Brother Branham, as I've mentioned many times before, Brother Branham considered Thanksgiving to be the one real true American holiday. And it's good for us to get together with the family and explain to kids that it isn't Turkey Day, and it isn't what the world has made it. It isn't about Black Friday at all. It has nothing to do with Black Friday. It is about just a moment in time that we slow down and stop. Even if the stores were open, we slow down and stop, and we say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. And we have a lot of reasons to give thanks. We especially, as the Bride of Christ, we have a lot of reasons to give thanks. And I think it's good for us to do that. It's good exercise for us to, to stop and prepare that and explain it to your kids or your grandkids and tell them what we're doing here, and let them know that Thanksgiving is still a special day for us. And all the other stuff that's created around it really doesn't change the central theme of what Thanksgiving is. And it's good for us to do that. Always good to have family times. It's always good to have opportunities where we can, get together and eat till we drop, and be able to fellowship together. And that's a great thing. So we trust that your week will be blessed. Everything kind of slows down a little bit through this week. I don't know. At least it does for me. Things kind of slow down a little bit, and that's kind of nice. So we just trust that your week and your holiday is blessed, and you enjoy good fellowship and good food with your family and friends there. So may the Lord richly bless you. And if you don't hear from me through this week, and Thanksgiving is generally a week where if I can, I like to kind of disengage from my phone and all the other things that go on, and just to kind of distance myself from that. But we pray for you guys every day. We pray out loud for you folks every day, and we'll certainly be doing that this week, and we always appreciate your prayers as well. So we are going to have one more special, and we're going to have them come and sing this evening here, and the choir, Matt's group, and it's easier if we identify them as Matt's group. Senior choir, because if you say, the senior choir, well, some of the young kids jump up because they want to be seniors. If you say the junior choir, some of the older adults jump up, and everybody's confused. So Matt's group are going to come and sing for us here. And I wonder, could we sing just one little chorus as they're coming and getting ready to the song tonight? I go to the rock. Let's sing in the key of F. Everybody love the Lord? Let's sing it tonight. I go to the rock. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Earth all around is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a... The choir, just the choir. Senior choir, Matt's group. Everybody else can sit down. Rejected. We run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by sea. This sinking sand, Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, go to the rock. Praise the Lord. That's special. You may be seated just for a moment here. We're going to invite Brother Diggs to come in just a moment here. And we appreciate our choir. Appreciate the good singing. We are going to, we're working with Brother Paul LaFontaine and his family are possibly going to be coming down. They're doing the 50th anniversary tour this year. And we're going to be, Lord willing, including Hickory on that in January. And they'll be coming down for a weekend to be able to sing and bless us. They were in Washington, D.C. last night and sang. And it was really wonderful. It was a blessing to hear them sing. So, Lord willing, we'll get them to come down in January. He's trying to work out a date so he can come down, and we'll give you plenty of advance notice. We may do it here. We may do it in another venue so we can have lots of folks there to be able to enjoy it. Sister Caitlin Sylvester is gone, right? She's out in Arizona. And you're going out too, end of the week. So we miss Sister Caitlin as well. Let's stand to our feet this evening here. Let's sing that little chorus, "This Is My Desire to Honor You." And we always appreciate it when Brother Diggs comes through. And he was in Tennessee this weekend. And so got him on the way home. And appreciate him taking the time to come and minister for us tonight. So you just pull in and just wear them out. That's the best way to put it. Just wear them out. Pull on that gift and just ask the Lord to speak to your heart tonight. This is my desire to honor you. And Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Again, Brother Mike, if you would pray for us. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This is my desire to honor.
Lord, I give you my heart. our desire, Father, is that you would have your way in us tonight, Lord. Lord, we know many are called, but few are chosen. And Lord God, we just pray that you just be pleased with our lives, Father, that we would be identified with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Lord, to know that we live because he lives. And Lord, because you rose from the dead, Lord, and that sacrifice gave us a new nature. Lord, we no longer desire things of the world, sins, Lord, of life, but we're reborn in you. And Lord, we pray you bless this church tonight, Lord, and the pastor and his family and his church family, Lord, and all those who are represented here tonight. Lord, just give us an invisible union in your word. Lord, give us the fellowship that our hearts long for with you. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen, church. Five of you know how to say amen tonight. Amen, church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know it's Sunday night, but we're still in church.
Amen.
Amen. And we still need of God. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I need of God. Amen. You know, it's always good to be here. We certainly appreciate Pastor Coffey. Amen. A man of many talents. Amen. And he believes in using them all. Amen. So we love him and appreciate him, and I know you do the same. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Romans 9. Romans 9. Romans 9 and let's start reading at verse 9. Romans 9 and 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Psalms 37. Praise the Lord. Let's just read verse 39. Psalms 37 and 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Amen. May the Lord bless reading of his words. You can have your seats. And I think you guys should know this by now. I want you to turn off your sour feelings, because I can feel them. I want you to turn off your indifferences and, you know, and the different little things that are drifting and has your mind and all those things. And let's concentrate on the Lord tonight. Amen. You know, and tonight I got something real good for the church tonight, by God's grace. And I hope this liberates us all. Amen. But tonight my subject is trouble brings purpose. Amen. Trouble brings purpose. You know, the Bible says that in the time of trouble, he shall hide thee. Amen. So when we think of trouble and tribulation and all the different things that comes with us being Christians, we have to understand that God is in control. Amen. You know that there's nothing the enemy can do that can sneak up on God where the devil will say, gotcha. No, it doesn't work like that. Whatever he can do, we must realize that God has allowed it. Amen. And you know, in everything about being tested and being tried, we must understand that God has to give the enemy permission to do what he's doing. Hallelujah. He don't just see you through a trial because he wants to see you defeated. No. God gives him permission for our benefit. Amen. Because the Bible says that all things work for good. Amen. Do you believe that tonight, church? All things work for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen. So our trials, our tribulation, there's something behind it called purpose. Hallelujah. You know, there's another scripture that says, you know, that we should, it's more precious than gold tried in fire. Hallelujah. You know, and when you think about gold being tried in fire, it has to be set up under something that will make it pure. Hallelujah. And what God does, God allows us to have trouble in our lives so our Christianity can become more and more pure. Hallelujah. And you know, I'm sure that I'm not the only one that sometimes you find yourself going through the same trial. You know why? Because there's a purpose. And God is a God of perfection. He won't stop until you fully get it. Hallelujah. And you know, when we look in the Bible and we look at chaos and all the different things, we have to realize that God is there. And you might not can't see what God sees, but God sees the purpose behind what you're going through. And you know, when God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says that it was without form and void. Darkness covered the face of the deep. Now you ask, why would God create something like that? Why would he create an earth that has no form, that has no void? And it's completely dark. He had a purpose. Because God knew, hallelujah, that he was eventually going to say, let there be light. So it was the darkness that caused God to speak. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't just speak to speak. He spoke because there was darkness. Amen. And the Bible says, and the darkness didn't comprehend the light. Amen. So a lot of times when we're going through things, we don't understand what God is doing. We just have to believe. Hallelujah. Who would ever think that God would create a world, let the world, hallelujah, go the way of sin, and then God destroy it? Seems kind of crazy. But in God, there's so many things locked up in him. There's things that have to be unveiled and pulled out of God. Amen. So God will allow trouble. He will allow certain things to take place. And you know, the atheists and different people, they say, if there was a God, why do we have all these murders and killings and all these things? And the prophet of God said, it's because of his attributes. If there was no sickness, there'd be no healing. If there was no bondage, there'd be no deliverance. If no one was lost, there'd be no savior. And you know, these things sound elementary, but I want you to think about, what are you going through, and is there a purpose behind it? You know, I want to tell you a story of a man who's from Canada. His name is Joseph Bombardier. I think I'm saying it right. Bombardier. Brother Barry got it. You know, I asked him how to say it because he's more Canadian than I am. I hope you know what I'm talking about. This is the man that invented the snowmobile. And among a lot of other creations, he invented. But the reason why he invented it was because he had trouble in his life. Amen. Back in those days, they had really, really bad blizzards. Really, really bad outpourings of snow. And you know, his dad was raising him up to be a priest, I believe. But he didn't want to be a priest. He wanted to be a mechanic. So even in the time where he was being trained to be a priest, he would go to the garage and the shops, and he started working on cars. But as he grew and grew, amen, he stepped away from the priesthood. And he began to be a mechanic. And you know, one day, they had a real, real bad blizzard. And his son got sick. And he couldn't get to the hospital because they wouldn't push the secondary roads. So they were trapped in their house. And his son got so sick, I forget the disease, but he got so sick that his son died. And from there, from that trouble, there came a purpose. From that trouble, he began to invent and make different things so that he'd never be trapped in the snow again. So he began to create this little track, what we would call a ski. Hallelujah. And he put that on the front of a car or an automobile with wheels, because that track would go over the snow. Hallelujah. And he created that, and from that point, he created different other things with tracks on it that could get through the snow. But that ideal came from his trouble. Hallelujah. He wasn't just sitting down one day saying, you know, I'm going to create an invention. No, it took trouble to get him to focus in what was really down deep inside of him. And sometimes God will allow us to get in trouble because there's something way down inside that God wants the world to see. Hallelujah. It took trouble, hallelujah, for Joseph, amen, to create the snowmobile. And from the snowmobile, the military, the Canadian military, asked him for help. Do y'all know he created the track that goes on the tanks? All that came from his trouble. And his trouble brought a greater purpose in his life. More than just being a mechanic. But he, hallelujah, that trouble, amen, produced something that would change the world. Hallelujah. And you think about trouble in the Bible, that how the children of Israel were locked in bondage, and there's trouble, and they begin to cry. What did that cry do? That cry made a Moses be born. Hallelujah. And all that trouble and all the pain and agony that they suffered for 400 years, then they begin to cry, and God sent the deliverer, amen, with the purpose of bringing the people out. Hallelujah. So a lot of times, church, our trials are here to make us better people. Hallelujah. Listen. Listen what the prophet of God says. He says, oh my, let's catch it. He says, listen. Which is greater, a sinner or a savior? Why? A savior. If he can save from sin, which is greatness? The sickness or the healer? Which was first, the healer or the, of course. Why did he permit it? God, if he, the attributes of God is a savior. See, God was all, everything was always perfect. But his perfectness could never be magnified if there wasn't something there to challenge it. Hallelujah. So God allowed trouble to come to challenge his greatness so the whole world could see how great he is. And he does the same thing tonight in your life and in my life. You know, it behooves us not to think that we're going to be on a bed of ease. But there's a thing called perfection that God is looking for in our lives. How's he going to get there? Trouble. Chaos. Amen. We never know about David defeating a giant if he hadn't defeated a bear and a lion. Hallelujah. So God, a lot of times, he's preparing us for what's to come. Amen. And we'll look at it and say, oh, Lord, why am I going through this? Why me? Why now? Let me ask you, why not you? Why not now? Hallelujah. Because there is a purpose in everything that God does, but we need to fall in love with our trials. When was the last time you said, God, I thank you for what I'm going through? Ain't getting no amens on that one, huh? But what you're going through is for your good. The trouble that you that arises in your life is for your good. It'll bring purpose out of your life. Can you imagine if Abraham and Sarah could have had the baby as soon as God told them? What would be the evidence that he was the father of faith? There'd be no evidence. You know why? Because he didn't have any trials. But the trial showed the whole world for generations past, hallelujah, unto our generation, that he is the father of faith. Because he believed God when there was nothing to believe in. He believed God when his body was dead, when his wife's body was dead. Church, can you believe God when there's no evidence that things are working out for your good? Hallelujah. That's what makes it so special, amen. To know that when I can't even see that it's working for my good, it's working for my good. Because God is in control. Hallelujah. You think about how many times the prophet would go to a meeting and trouble was there. But it was for the good. This particular time, this man jumps up. He was a guy who beat up preachers. Trouble came. So what was God going to do? God was going to magnify. Hallelujah. God was going to magnify who he was in that prophet. Hallelujah. So God sent a trap. God sent some trouble so everybody could see that he was in that prophet. And don't y'all know he still do the same thing? He'll let you get into arguments with people on your job only for you to come back and say, I'm sorry. Not them come back and say sorry to you. You come back and say sorry to them. Hallelujah. Because 9 times out of 10, when you get into the argument, you feel like you're right. But when God shows you wrong, do you have the strength to go back and say, I'm sorry? Hallelujah. And when you can do that, what does it do? It produces the character of God. Hallelujah. It shows that the purpose of that argument was for you to find humility. Hallelujah. And a lot of times we go through things and things arise and we always cry, Lord, why me? God is doing something. Hallelujah. He led Moses down to the Red Sea into some serious trouble. What was the purpose? The purpose was to get him to speak. Hallelujah. And a lot of times God will allow us to get in situations so you could speak the spoken word. So you can operate, hallelujah, in what God originally called us to operate in. Hallelujah. But you know, if we start to look at our trials and we murmur and complain and get depressed, we'll miss it. You know, that's a lot of times why people get sick. And really get sick. Because certain things arise and they start going into depression. Oh Lord, I got cancer. Oh Lord, the doctor said I had diabetes. You think God allowed that for you to die? No, he allowed certain sicknesses to show that he is a healer. He allowed his friend, one of his best friends, to get sick and he didn't come. For days he didn't come. Why? Because he said, this sickness is not unto death, this trouble is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Hallelujah. So sometimes God will let things linger. Why? For his glory. Amen. So that he may be exalted. Church, we need to look at things through the lens of God. Hallelujah. With God, nothing is out of order. Unless you're on the devil's team. But I want you to understand something about the devil. He can't even do what he wants to do. He has to get permission from God. If we could just sit back and move into another realm, just to see how many times the devil has tried to kill us today, but he can't. Why? Because God is protecting. God keeps the trouble away until it's time for trouble. Hallelujah. And whenever it's time for trouble, it's time for you to be blessed. Now that's a hard pill to swallow. I'm going through this so God can bless me? Yeah. Hallelujah. He allowed Abraham, like I said, to go through all he was going through so he could be the father of faith. Amen. And in the scripture we read, the opening scripture, let me help y'all out a little bit. I'm about to close. And you know, we're trying to work through this. We're trying to get through this. But y'all know I'm a different kind of eagle. I can feel when the winds are a little tight. I can feel when it ain't as free as it should be. You know, but we belong up there. We belong in a place, hallelujah, with God. Now, I hadn't pinpointed it yet, you know, where that spirit is coming from. But if you keep resisting me, blood, I'm going to sniff. Trouble comes to set us free. Hallelujah. Trouble doesn't come to put you in bondage. Hallelujah. Trouble comes so you can see a greater expression of God. Hallelujah. See, the devil doesn't get any credit. They pronounced me to have diabetes. They pronounced me to have cancer, high blood pressure, and probably some other stuff that I said no. But all those things only come so that I can say, by his stripes I'm healed. Hallelujah. So although I got the marks, I got the cuts, I got all the things that happened, what does it represent? It represents victory. It represents the purpose of God, because God knew that those sicknesses was the only thing that can bring out a greater revelation of who God is. Hallelujah. Those things were the only thing that can bring out that He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Hallelujah. And if you get sick, it's for a purpose. Look at John Ryan. This man was blind most of his life. Hallelujah. Only one day get in the prayer line and still didn't believe. So he got back in the prayer line. He said, I thought you said I was healed. He said, I thought you believed me. He says, okay, what I want you to do, I want you to say, I thank the Lord for healing me. And it still didn't catch. So he went around, he started saying, I thank the Lord for healing me. So he jumped in the prayer line. Hallelujah. I mean, he stopped the whole service, and it looked like it was causing trouble, but it was a purpose. He stood up in the midst of the preaching. Brother, I'm preaching. Hey, everybody be quiet. Listen to this. I thank the Lord for healing me. Now, if somebody do that in our church, the deacons grab them and throw them out. Because it looked like he was starting some trouble. But no, there was a purpose behind it. Because the whole world, everybody that knew him, knew that he was blind, and he was professing something that they couldn't see. Hallelujah. They were professing something, hallelujah, that didn't, he was professing something that didn't look like it was true. But was it true?
Yes.
Hallelujah. It was true. Until one day, hallelujah, he goes to the barber shop. You know, let's back up. He's outside with newspaper saying, extra, extra, thank the Lord for healing me. Extra, extra, thank the Lord for healing me. Look like he's bringing a reproach. But what is it? It's God working things out. And the more witnesses he had, the more supernatural it was going to be. And he testified and testified. And then one day he goes in the barbershop. Church, your testimony is not per se for believers. It's for the unbeliever. In that somebody else might get saved or get encouraged over you going through the storm of your trouble. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't you know, we look at one another, we watch the trials of one another's life, and then we'll say, if he went through it and God blessed him, I can go through it. We do that all the time. And you know, church, with John Ryan's in the barber shop, he wasn't in church when his eyes came open. He wasn't in the prayer line. He was nowhere identified with religion. And y'all know in the barbershop, they talk about everything. Hallelujah. They probably talking about a little bit of this, talking about a little bit of that, talking about a little bit of this. And he said, I thank the Lord for healing me. You know, y'all, I want you to give me a crew cut, but I thank the Lord for healing me. And they start laughing at him. And then they're picking at him because he couldn't see. And they're just looking at his trouble, and they're laughing at him. He said, hey, John, you healed? He said, yeah, I'm healed. And then another person come in, they're laughing and say, hey, John, you healed? He said, I thank the Lord for healing me. Then his eyes came open. In the midst of unbelievers, hallelujah, his trouble had a purpose. So that all those men that were in that barber shop who never knew anything about God, that day they knew God was a healer. Hallelujah. That day, they knew that the supernatural was real. Hallelujah. Because all he did was spoken. Wasn't no doctor there. Wasn't no preacher there. Wasn't no stethoscope. Wasn't nothing but the spoken word. Hallelujah. And God always works like that, church. When it looks like, hallelujah, it's going totally against you, it's really working for your favor. And we look at Job, amen. We look at the trouble in his life. They call him a secret sinner. They call him this. They call him that. But where did the trouble come from? God. God allowed it to come. We look at David. David took a man's wife. Premeditated murder. Committed adultery. Lust. All these things. Why? There was a purpose in that trouble. Hallelujah. If David never went through that, if David never had that trouble, we'd never have Psalm 51. Creating me a clean heart, oh God. That song came out of David's repentance, hallelujah. Because God knew that he was a man at his very own heart, and once his sins were found out, he would repent. Hallelujah. And we look through the scriptures, we look through the Bible, on and on and on. Trouble always brings the supernatural. And like we said, Moses is standing at the Red Sea and he's hollering, "What should I do? What should I do?" And God is saying, "Man, I'm tired of this. How many times have I showed you I've been on your side in the midst of trouble?" That's the question we need to ask. You know, and I begin to think about myself. You know, the way the enemy fights me is financial. He said, "Yeah, you're going to live by faith. You're going to live by faith, all right. We're going to mess everything. We're going to mess this up. But you know what? God continuously shows up. In my lack, he comes to show me that he's a supplier. And you know, and yeah, I'm not here. I'd be the last one to say, I don't get nervous sometimes. But God knows how to take away my nervousness. Hallelujah. And see, my trouble brings a supernatural God closer. And really, your trouble brings in the supernatural. I'll tell you a testimony. Hallelujah. A couple weeks ago, I was in a church preaching. And after I finished preaching, a brother came up to me. He says, "Hey, I want to give you this. It's an offer." He said, "I want to give you this." And I'm like, okay. You know, I don't have that false humility stuff. "No, brother, I'm all right. I appreciate you. Appreciate you, brother. God gonna work it out. I'm good." No. "Thank you. God bless you." You know, you're praying about stuff and God is meeting your need, and it comes from a sister or a brother, and then you get super spiritual, super humble. "No, I'm good. God bless you. I appreciate you thinking about me, though." Is God answering your prayer? That ain't the time to put on humility. And then take it back off when you get out of their presence and say, "Why did I reject that? I so needed that blessing." Bashfulness. "Sorry, not Brother Diggs. Thank you very much. God bless you." But anyway, brother come up to me and he puts an offering in my hand. He says, "Here." I says, "Thank you." I ain't even asking what it's for. "Why are you doing nothing?" I said, "Thank you. Ain't none of my business. Thank you." But then he begins to tell me something. He said, "God told me he was looking to buy another truck. And he was going to buy another truck the next day." This was Sunday. Monday he was going to buy another truck. And he said, "The Lord told him, if you bless Brother Diggs, that truck you want, I'll let you get it for $10,000. And the truck costs $42,000. Y'all ain't shouting already? Y'all know how this story ends. Y'all think I'm telling this testimony to find out he didn't get the truck for $10,000? Hallelujah. We have to be rejoicing. But I'll tell the rest of the testimony, then we can rejoice. But anyway, hallelujah. The money he gave me, I really needed. Hallelujah. And God knew that. Hallelujah. So God allowed trouble to come in his life so he could be a blessing for me. Amen. Hallelujah. And then God was going to be a blessing to him. Hallelujah. A lot of times your trouble is so that you can be a blessing to somebody else according to how you go through the trial. Amen. That's good. I feel you waking up now. Amen. But you know, church, from there, he says, "Here, I want to give you this." He says, "Because God told me, if I bless you, he's going to bless me. It's a truck I want to get. And the truck costs $42,000. He says he'll let me get it for $10,000. And I was like, "Okay. God bless you. You say so. That's the God we serve." But I didn't have to do no extra because God didn't tell me that. He told him. So I had, "Oh, yeah, Father, we believe in for our brother in the name of Jesus." No, I had to do none of that. God told him. Amen. I'm just believing with him. I'm going about my business. So he says, "I'm going to call you tomorrow when the blessing is finished." So the money he gave me, I needed it to do something with. And as soon as I finished, he called me. He's like, "Hey, Brother Diggs, how you doing?" And I can tell he's on the other end smiling. You know when somebody calls you, you know they're in a good mood? You say, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" They say, "God bless you." Hallelujah. And you know, church, he started to tell me, he said, "You remember I told you if I gave you, the Lord told me if I give you this money that he was going to let me get a truck for $10,000 that cost $42,000. I said, "Yeah, brother, I remember that very well." And he says, "Well, let me tell you the story." He said, "When we started bidding on the truck, hallelujah, we started bidding at a certain price. He said, the last price we bid it, or I bid it, it was $9,500. And all the bidding stopped at $9,500. Just in case y'all don't know what $9,500 is, $9,500. $500 away from $10,000. But then he said, after I paid all the taxes, it came out to an even $10,000. And I was driving, I was like, ah! But well, that's the God we serve. I'm just so happy I was a part of that testimony. Amen. You think about that, church. You are a part of somebody else's testimony. God sent a silver-toothed grizzly bear some trouble down the way so Brother Bills could be a part of a vision. Correct. And churches that think that God does things like that all the time, and we look like it and we say, why me? But it's Him blessing you, amen. It's Him doing supernatural things in a supernatural people. Hallelujah. But we look at our troubles, we look at our trials, our chaos, and all these different things. Look, sometimes chaos and chaos brings peace. You say, well, Brother Deeks, what do you mean? Okay, one day, a bear came and took a sheep. And David said, oh, no, sir, buddy, not today. Goes up, grabs the sheep, pop, smacks him, take the sheep back. Some more trouble came. Somebody else, gonna try it again. Lion takes the sheep, goes away. He grabs it by the beard, slaps it, pow! Trouble and trouble. But what was that? That was training. Hallelujah. That was training for a greater trial. Hallelujah. And sometimes God will let things arise because it's training. Hallelujah. He's trying to get us into the place where we can say, Lord, you've taken care of this before. And I know you're going to take care of it again. Hallelujah. So now there's a man, y'all know I love saying this, there's a big old giant standing out there singing, bring me a man! Y'all know Goliath wouldn't whisper, hey, Saul, would you bring me a man? Bring me somebody to fight. No. The devil tries to be very intimidating. And you know, like I said this morning, hey, don't think for one second that the devil, he sneaks, you know those practical jokers? Will you be... You be in a, you know, walking in the bathroom and somebody jumps out and says, boom! And then you be shaking and all kind of stuff. Well, I'm going to show you exactly what happens when the devil tries that with God. He's sneaking up. I'm gonna make this situation real bad. He sneaks up. He jumps out. He says, boom! He jumps out on God now. He says, boo. You know what happened? Bam! God knocks him right out. It didn't go out the way he thought it was going to go out. Because, you know, sometimes people jump out to scare somebody, and their first reaction is to. And that's how God is with Satan. Hallelujah. He always puts the devil in his place. Hallelujah. He never gets God, hallelujah, off God. Or God come back and say, oh, man, I didn't know the devil was going to do that. No, it don't work like that. He's mindful of everything he does. Hallelujah. For every practical joke, for every situation, God has his eyes on the enemy. Hallelujah. You know, the prophet of God says, he says, the preaching of the cross brings observation. It brings troubles. It brings stirrups. And we can't expect to be immune from all those. We just have to take them as they come. And the greatest part is, even when you bring him for fruit, he'll purge you. You know what it means to purge something? You got to take it through some strenuous. You got to put something against it and scrub it or make it clean or whatever. It's like a sore. And when you want to get to that sore and don't make it infected, you have to get rid of the surface. And pour some peroxide or some alcohol in there and get to the goodness of it. That's pruning. That's purging. And even when life seems good, God will allow things to arise so he can get more out of you. Remember Brother Branham? How did we get a message? God sent trouble. God let his wife get sick. God let his baby die. All that trouble so that you and I could receive a message. So we benefit from all of his agony and all of his pain. Sitting there watching his daughter go cross-eyed and all the pain. And we're sitting here benefiting from it. Church, we need to take advantage of this. Because there are some people who have sweat, blood, and tears that we may get this gospel. There are men who are crucified upside down. Hallelujah. And it behooves us not to just be all relaxed. God bless you. I just love my church. I love everybody. I wonder how you feel when you're going through a trial. Is it easy to love then? And you can tell when people are going through a trial. Hallelujah. Brother Keith, them had the music. Brother Wayne, you know Brother Wayne, he get up here and play and say, all right now, y'all know I just love everybody. He start playing and he get to going. And a person who's going through something, he's standing and do like this. Brother Keith singing his heart out. And you just sitting there. Trouble. But you should understand, the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. So the best time to give God praise is when you're in trouble. When you don't feel like it, hallelujah. You know that the Bible says, hallelujah, and even the prophet of God said that when they were coming out of Egypt, that it was a 3 to 5 days journey. But God allowed murmuring, complaining. He allowed trouble to bring forth a purpose. Hallelujah. And you think, say, Brother D, what was the purpose? So that all the unbelievers could die out? No, there's a greater purpose than that. Yeah, all the unbelievers died out. But it took 40 years for them to get out of that wilderness. You know why? 40 years. Because Rahab wasn't ready. Hallelujah. Remember, she was a teenager. She was a young girl. Hallelujah. So it had to delay 40 years. You know why? Because the seed of Christ had to come through her. So God allowed certain trouble so certain things, certain pieces could get in position. Hallelujah. So that we could be blessed. Amen. Because without, hallelujah, Rahab, there'd be no Boaz. Without Boaz and Ruth, there'd be no Jesse. And without Jesse, there'd be no David. And without David, there'd be no Jesus Christ. So God allowed all these things to slow up all this trouble. Why? For a greater purpose. And as I come down to a close, I want you to think about what you're going through. And is God doing something? And if you can't answer that with a yes, you're literally saying, the devil has his hand on me. And why give the devil credit for something God is doing? Hallelujah. Because he can't do nothing because he has no power. His power is perversion. And when you listen to him, hallelujah, you listen to his lies. Hallelujah. Remember, where did all the books of the New Testament come from? Paul, a man who experienced a lot of trouble. He was thrown over a wall. I believe that you can correct me if I'm wrong. He was whipped maybe 5 different times. He was a night and day in the sea. Boat got all tore up. He was bit by a viper. Went through all this stuff. Hey, amen. He stood aside and watched certain ones of the disciples be stoned. What was that all about? Well, let me tell you what it was about. It was about the book of Romans. The book of Corinthians, the book of Hebrews, Ephesus, Galatians, hallelujah, Colossians, Philippians, all of that was wrapped up in Paul, but he had to go through something so we could benefit from it. Hallelujah. Don't we realize that half of the New Testament was written while Paul was locked up in jail? And while he's going through all that trouble, the greater purpose was that we would be blessed. And you think about it, he's going through all that. And then he writes in one place in the scripture, he says, and by the way, can you bring me a coat? Yeah, sure. He wasn't even thinking about his own self. In all of his trouble, he had everybody else in mind. God built him that way. Hallelujah. And look, hallelujah. He said, I've been sought the Lord thrice for this situation. And God said, my grace is sufficient. I put that there because there's an abundance of revelation flowing through you. And I got to do something to keep you humble. God sends trouble to keep us humble. Because if we had no problems, some of us wouldn't even pray. A brother I know, his wife died. And he was just crying for his wife. She wasn't that old. They were like early 40s. You know, she died with cancer. And they had 4 or 5 kids, something like that. You know, and you know, he was so broken, and his wife, his best friend, and you know, and that's the way it should be. Your companion should be your best friend. You know, and you know, I was his best friend, and she died, and you know, and he was just watching her die, but he was praying, Lord, I know you're healing. I want you to deliver my wife and this and that, but God didn't do it. God let her go. She died. So he went to the Lord and he was crying and, you know, he was asking God, why did you let her die, Lord? Why did you let her die? And God's response was, there was a greater purpose. God told him, I let her die because I knew her death would have a greater effect on the salvation of your children than me healing her. Almost seems like it's not understandable. But it's God's way. And I think right after mommy died, all those kids got closer to God. Whew. So sometimes we don't understand why God does what he do, but there's a purpose behind it. And before you judge a situation, especially with people in church or somebody you might know, and you say, well, they're going through this and they're going through that, shh, get your mouth closed. Because what you might be looking at, you might be looking at God pruning. Not the devil backsliding, God pruning. Not the devil in control, no, God purging. Hallelujah. And you know, we see people in the church go through stuff. Church, even we have to be in a place, you know, you ask yourself the question. For all the people that you know that have left the message of the hour, in your heart, can you receive them back? Yeah, you done said some stuff. But can you swallow all your pride and that person comes back and repent? You know, I made this statement one time in church. I said, as much wickedness, Beyonce, all her dancing and all the stuff she does, if she comes in this church, fall on her knees and say, I want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, will we be able to receive her? Oh, y'all know who that is? Well, let's say Taylor Swift. You know who that is, don't you? Let's just say her and all her fornication. And all her different boyfriends and never, ever, ever getting back together or whatever she's talking about. Well, if she comes in one day and falls on her knees and says, oh, I just want to repent. I've done so wrong and I'm receiving God into my life. Can you forget about all the music she's ever made and receive that soul? Hallelujah. That's the way we need to be. The only judge is God. Hallelujah. But you know, a lot of times we judge a situation without knowing fully how it's going to turn out. And sometimes God will let things go right before our eyes. Because for one, he'll deal with the element of pride. The element of pride where? In us. Because a lot of times we think, oh, that ain't going to happen to me. Not me. I'm a son. I'm a dude. And as soon as you open your mouth, you go through a trial. That's why I learned to keep my mouth shut. I don't need no excess pressure. Preaching is enough. Hallelujah. But you know, church, in those times when you don't understand, don't be like Job's friends. He got to be sinning. He got to be a secret sinner. He done lost all his cattle. He done lost everything. And now look at him. He's down in the dump. And he's sick. When God then said, hey, Satan, why don't you try Job? But before you get him, I'm going to testify about him a little bit. There's none like him in all the earth. He's a righteous man. He is skewered from all evil. You know what God was telling Satan? He's going to pass this test. And I'm going to laugh at you. Hallelujah. Did Job pass the test? Yes, he did. And I can imagine all those friends have to come back and say, Job, I'm sorry. I prejudged the situation. See, trouble brings purpose. And when we look through the scripture, hallelujah, we look at all the things that have taken place. He says, hallelujah, he says, he is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Come on, musicians, I'm closing. You know, the greatest issue for a believer when we're going through trouble is trust. And we think about all the scriptures that God has given us, telling us to trust him. When we look at it and don't understand, don't quite know how it's going to turn out, believe me when I say God is in control. But the Bible says he's never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Think about it, church. In the midst of the last days, this woman and her child, all she had was just enough meal and oil to make one cake. Phew, that was some trouble. But then here comes a prophet. And God had told him, see, this is what I love about God. Amen. God will do things that seem like it don't make no sense. God tells the prophet, go down there. There's a widow woman that will sustain you. She'll feed you. And he gets down there, and she just got enough meal for one cake. Looks like God made a mistake, didn't he? No, he knew exactly what he was doing. So he gets down there and he says, hey, you make me a cake. And she says, all I got is just enough for me and my son. He said, make me a cake first anyway. Huh. You know what she had to do? She had to say, thank you, Jesus, in the midst of her trouble. She had to be obedient, hallelujah, and do what she didn't want to do to receive the blessing. That's us, church. A lot of times when it comes to spiritual things, you have to do what your flesh don't want to do. You have to do what doesn't seem to make sense to your natural man so that your spiritual man may be blessed. And you know what she did? She started fixing up that cake. Fixing it up. She baked the cake. Hallelujah. And from there, it began to multiply, multiply, multiply. Why? Because there was a purpose. Hallelujah. God wanted to show her, if you're obedient, I will sustain you. Amen. And those promises are still true today. Amen. If we are obedient, God will sustain us in the midst of our trouble. God sends trouble to outpour blessing. Amen. And it's time for us to look at things differently. Amen. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into doubtless temptation. When was the last time you fell into temptation? You say, oh, thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Yeah. That ain't the way we're built. That's not our nature. It takes the Holy Ghost to do that. It takes the Holy Ghost for you to, hallelujah, fall into something and then fall back and think and say, but God, you got this. I'm in your hands. Hallelujah. There's nothing that can happen to me unless you are at the center of it. Hallelujah. How many believe that, church? So let's look at it now, church, that when you go through situations, when you go through chaos, you go through trouble, could it be God doing something in your favor? Hallelujah. Let's look at it different, church, because God is in control. Let's pray. Lord, Father, we thank you for the words of truth. And Lord, we know that no matter where we are or what we're doing, that there is a supernatural God whose eye is on the sparrow. That there's nothing can happen that you haven't already ordained before the foundation of the world. So Lord, we pray that as the prophet of God would say, let us have the right mental attitude, Lord. For we know our attitude will affect, it will determine how long the trial goes or how short it may be. So, Father, give us the right attitude, Lord, to look at our lives and to look at who's ordaining these things, Lord, and speak those things that are not as though they are. And, Father, we love you and we thank you and we appreciate you. And we give you all the honor and glory in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And church, say amen. Somebody give God a hand of praise.
My life is deep down in my soul. He's got it all in control.
Sing it again now.
God's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. That reassurance deep down. Got it all in control. He's got it all. Puts that reassurance deep down in my soul. He's got it all. We find the strength of the Lord, not in trying, but in trusting, not in wandering, but in resting, not in wandering, but in praying, that we find of the Lord. Sing it again now. Let's worship Him tonight. Oh, it's not in trying, but in trusting. It's not in wondering. It's not in wondering, but in praying that we find the Lord. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. And seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, He's a Lamb of God. Seen prayer tonight, you're welcome to come. Let's sing it now. So taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you'll fill my cup. You are my all in all. He's Jesus, the Lamb of God, and worthy is His name. Jesus, the Lamb. my Lord. There is no other one who can calm the storms of life like my
to practice that little principle I told you about called accumulating. You got to accumulate things. You got to accumulate not the bad things, but the good things that happen to you. Now, Brother Branham talked about in Spiritual Food in Due Season, I mentioned to you before, he said, now we look back and we see all the great things that God has done, all the things he's done in his power and his greatness, and he said, we accumulate all that together. And he said, we make a decision, we decide. You know, that's God that's done that. That's God that's done those great things. And he encourages us to accumulate things. Accumulate those testimonies and realize, my God's been at work back here. God's been at work doing this, and something else has been God. It's been God. It's been God. It's been God. He said accumulate that. But the human spirit is quick to accumulate negative things. It's easier. It's quicker for us to accumulate negative things. Well, that went wrong, and that's bad, and that's a, my goodness, I wish that never happened, and something else. And if we're not careful, the bad things that happen to us in life, and they happen, we can accumulate them, and you can come up with a conclusion and sit there in your pity party sometimes. We can say, well, life is tough, life's difficult. But if what he said tonight is true, if that principle is true, then God doesn't allow bad things to happen to us just to watch bad things happen to us. But everything that happens to us somehow or another, in some way or another, even if you can't see it when you're going through it, all of it will work together for good to them who love God. The called according to his purpose, right? So therefore, we got to accumulate all of these things and realize God would not allow these things unless somehow he's going to get glory out of it some way. He's going to use it for my good. He's going to build me and make me stronger. He's going to make me a better Christian through all of it. But hey, let's not kid ourselves. Difficulties and trials and pressures are not easy when you go through them. They're tough. They're difficult. And there's a lot of times we're tempted to go one way or the other, like Brother Branham, you know, when he went through that time and he lost his wife and daughter. But I will tell you something. What we got to do is we got to look back and start accumulating the things. You know what? We wouldn't be here but for the grace of God. We wouldn't be here but for those hard times and all those difficulties and trials and all those different, valleys we had to go through and all of that. But you know what? It's God's grace that brought us through here. And that testimony that brought you this far is the same testimony that will bring you all the way. The same confidence you had in God to get you through all of that is the same confidence we need to make the next step and to go all the way. And we got to accumulate. Got to accumulate the positive aspect of things we go through. Because trials are the things that bring out the blessings. And trials are the things that bring out character. Trials are the things that bring out strength that help you to carry on and get the things done. Like Mr. Bombardier. Amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. The saying is, necessity is the mother of invention. Hard trials, necessities in life. Hey, I remember, I can relate to the story told about Bombardier. I remember going through that museum up there in Valcour, in that area of Quebec that he's talking about. And I remember growing up watching the snowplows go try to get through the drifts, you know, and the bad storms, and trying to open up the roads. And these are main roads, and the plow, great big plows, Caterpillar plows, and they'd be trying to beat against that snow. And I watched them. We took a film of it one time. We still have it. Where the plow just gave up. Couldn't get through the snow. So he gave up, turned around, went back the other way. And so the road was blocked. And, you know, Dad had to go to work. He'd get out there and get his park on, get his hat, and walk across the snowdrifts and get over to work. Couldn't see him, 50 feet down the road, and he'd be gone, whiteout. And, that kind of situation, that kind of circumstance. You don't have that in Anderson or in Columbia, South Carolina, do you? Not much, anyway, not often. But Bombardier looks at that, and his son's so sick there, and thinking, wow, if you only had a vehicle to go over the top of that and wouldn't sink and get that track out there, big flat, wide track. I remember one time my son Peter wanted a track so bad, he just thought that was one of the coolest thing to have a track like that. And I went up there, I was up in Quebec one time, and somebody had an old broken-down skidoo up there, and I said, do you mind if I got a boy who'd love to have a track? He pulled that old track off and gave it to me, and we got it. Pete still got it. Still got it today. The old rusty old track. Here I am coming through the airport with this old track of a snowmobile. He really wanted to have one. That's such a neat thing. But it's born in necessity, and God knows, there are certain things that are going to happen best when they come through that forge of difficulty, that fire of difficulty and strain. God knows it's going to come out of that. Just like a man who works the iron, he knows that something's going to come out of that metal. Something's going to come out of all that heat and that banging and all the pressure that goes on. And God looks at our lives and we think, well, I don't want to go through anything. God says, I know there's something good coming out of that. I know there's something coming out of that. And He can forge something great out of our lives that you're not even seeing right now. God's forging character, and God's forging strength. God's forging a certain, maybe a ministry even. God's forging certain things in your life because He knows what He can use up the road here. But it's got to go through the fire. It's got to go through the narrow place. It's got to go through the pounding, and it's got to go through the difficulties. Got to have it. That's not our way, folks. But His ways are higher than our ways. That's not how we think about life. We try to make everything possibly as easy as possible. That's how we do it. That's human nature. But God says, no, my ways are higher. My ways are not your ways. The way I think about it is not the way you think about it. So the best thing to do is just to let go and let God have His way. And say, Lord, I'm just going to trust You. There's got to be a reason in this somewhere. Maybe I don't see it. There's got to be a reason for it some way. If anybody knows the love of Jesus, I do. Yes, I do. Anybody knows about the love of Jesus? I do. Yes, I do. And anybody know about the grace of Jesus? Anybody knows about the grace of my Jesus? Well, I do. Yes, I do. Anybody knows about the grace of my Jesus? I do. Yes, I do. Lord Jesus, we are a people who are acquainted with grace and mercy and love. Because, Lord, we have been shown that grace many times. We have been extended mercy more times, Lord, than we deserve. But, Father, we know you have a great love for us. We know you have great patience with us. And, Lord, we know that you're always at work helping us to grow spiritually. You're always at work developing character in our lives. And in life's journey, Lord, there is more to it than just making to the end. Lord, there's a putting on of the new man, a putting on of the nature and character of Christ. And so, Father God, I pray that as we experience life face to face, that, Father God, you will see us as we are in our times of weakness. And, Lord, you'd hold up our hands. And, Lord, that the anchor might hold and we may stand strong. May our testimony never fade, but Lord, may we be confident all the way through things we go through. And let the world see that there is a living God, and a God who cares, and a God who knows about all we go through. And a God who can do exceedingly above and beyond what we could ask or think. Have thine own way, I pray. Bless this assembly, Lord, my own family. Lord, each and every one, especially families tonight that are in mourning, families that are hurting, we commit them into your care, Lord. Pray that your Holy Spirit would reach down and minister to each and every one. Heal those that are sick, we pray. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord. Bless Brother Diggs, I pray. Get him home safely to his family, Lord. And we thank you for his ministry and for his gifts, Lord, and for the blessing he is to the bride of Christ. May, Lord, you strengthen him and guide him and lead him in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask and pray these things. Amen. And amen. God bless you as you go tonight. Shake hands with one another. And if you happen to see Brother Dick, shake his hand as well. The anchor. Oh, the ship is battered. Sing it as you go tonight. The anchor holds. Sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea, for the anchor holds. In spite the end.